recordings are started.
Thank you very much. Hi, everyone. This is the 57th meeting of the CWG on June 4th at 11:03 UTC. We will do roll call through the Adobe Connect room, as per usual, but we will also pause for anyone who is on audio only and would like to speak up now. Okay, I don't hear anyone, so I think we will proceed. I'll turn it over to the chairs.
Thank you, Grace. Hi, everyone, and welcome to our meeting. We will clearly focus the majority of this meeting on item four, trying to make sure we go through the detail of the reading of the proposal and, in particular, focusing in on all the recent edits and changes and developments that have taken place. I think in doing so, I'd encourage you as much as possible to highlight if there are details on the words that need changing, but not necessarily try to create those words in the document now. We can rely on staff to do that, but the critical thing to do is to be sure as to whether or not the essence is captured effectively. So I think it makes sense to really not spend a lot of time with preamble on this meeting. We have a substantial item to work on, and it makes most sense, at least in my mind, in discussing it with Lisa, that we move towards that as soon as possible. Before doing so, though, clearly one of the key drivers of this latest version and our attempts to get to the final version are driven by all of the public comments we received and how we've managed to process and absorb those. So I think it would be useful to get an update on as to where we are in that and remind you of the process and the methods we've been using and get an update on that. And for that, I will turn under item two to Marika from Mike and staff.
Yes, thanks. Hi, Jonathan. Hi, all. This is Marika. And as you can hear, there's wonderful drilling in the Brussels office again today. Just a very brief update on the public comment process. As I think Grace already explained in detail, I think you all know how we've been dealing with the comments. We've categorized all of them according to the different sections of the report and broken them out in a public comment review tool and suggested responses for those. Based on conversations last week and as well work that's ongoing in the different design teams. We're updating that now with that feedback. We're still working on that. We do hope to finalize that soon so we can share that with the group for your review. Just one thing to note, what we are doing is, of course, you know, things are still moving and changing. We are basing our responses basically on the state of affairs as they were at the end of Friday, as otherwise it would become very unwieldy to try and keep the document up to date, and we probably need to start looking at all the other responses that we've provided as well. So our proposal there is that we just focus indeed our responses on the state of affairs as they were on Friday at the end of day, and then use other communication around the final proposal, such as chair's communication or statement, as a means as well to highlight what changes and updates were made from a high-level perspective in response to the public comments. I think once we're able to finalize that, and as you can imagine, our main focus at the moment is to focus on finalizing the draft proposal itself, but once we're able to finalize the public comment review tool, we'll of course circulate that to the group, and everyone will have a chance to review that and provide input, and probably just need to see how much time people need to do that, as that of course is also a lengthy document. I think we're at 250 pages as such. And I think that's it.
Thanks, Marika. And I know that you've prioritized making sure that the draft final document is updated as much as possible, and that's been the primary focus over the last 24, 48 hours. But that's important to note that update in effect for the responses to public comments. Are there any questions or issues arising with regard to either the mechanics or content of the work on the public comments? I suspect most of you are focused in on the actual proposal itself, but if there are any questions or comments, fire away. Okay. Item three, which is an update on the questions to ICANN Finance and Legal, I'm afraid there isn't much to report, if anything, since Tuesday. As I said on Tuesday, we had a conversation with Xavier from ICANN Finance in which we set the context of the questions and gave some detailed responses to some Q&A he had, some questions he had. And on the back of that, he came back to us with a summary of what we had discussed and was expecting to produce a final copy including all of his answers, and we've yet to receive that. So I'm afraid that is outstanding on the responses to the key questions from ICANN Finance, and we have heard nothing from ICANN Legal at this stage, in spite of following that up. So I can't give you much more than that, really. There's not any significant development since Tuesday. Any questions or comments in relation to item three? Okay, we'll be sure to pass anything on to the list as soon as we receive it and share that with you as soon as anything appears, particularly if it has any significant impact. So now turning to item four, which gives us an opportunity to make a further reading of the final proposal. And let me give an opportunity to Marika and Grace have worked all the hours that they have possibly been able to do and have been doing shift work on ensuring these, or at least different time-based work on ensuring that the comments are absorbed. But the document has become unwieldy, and I know there have been some technical issues in terms of getting all of that absorbed. So let me give over to Marika and possibly Grace to just comment on where we are exactly in terms of the absorption of the comments and input to date.
So this is Marika. So where we're currently at, and what you see on the screen is a version 3. As Jonathan noted, we had a little bit of a crisis earlier this morning with basically the document crashing on us and basically cutting off most of the pages. So we have managed to recover most of the work, but the problem is we're not able to show in this version at the moment the earlier changes that we've made. So what I've been able to do is basically show the changes compared to version 2 and this version 3. So basically the track changes that you see highlighted here basically demonstrate what has changed since the version we circulated earlier this week. Just to note, what this version currently includes, as I think several of you have seen, a number of comments and edits have come in overnight for most of us. So this includes currently the edits that were sent by Avery, Greg, and most of Sidley's edits and comments. I do have to point out that a number of those comments or the edits were overlapping or made changes to the same section. So I've done my best to bring those different changes together. So for those that have made those edits, they may look different as you originally proposed, but that's then the result of indeed the trying of the uniting of similar edits to the same sections. So what it does not include yet, but we'll be able to pull up those documents when we get there to look at those comments and edits, is that the edits and comments that Lisa submitted on section 4, and as well the Sidley comments from page 64 onwards, as that was the moment where we had our our fun IT incident. So again, we can then switch, as when we get to that stage, we can switch to the document they had sent and look at those specific comments from that part onwards. This document also doesn't include yet the edits that have been suggested by Andrew Sullivan. We still need to get to those as well. And I did know that there were quite a few emails that have been going back and forth this morning, and if there were any edits in there or any suggested changes, those are not captured yet either. And obviously, we're still waiting as well for input from some of the design teams with regards to their sections, most notably DTC, DTA, and there's as well one unresolved item from DTM that needs to be addressed. So I think that's where we're currently at, and instead of probably sharing this version, which I said doesn't have all those changes in there yet, I think we'll try to work on getting this version into a state that it has all the edits that have been suggested, also then taking into account any feedback that we receive on today's meeting, so we have a complete final version for you hopefully later today. And as I said, it probably will be difficult to go back to incorporating all the track changes, so I'm hoping that people feel that it's sufficient at this stage to basically see the changes that have been made compared to version 2, as you know, in all honesty, and I think it's probably one of the reasons as well why we had the IT issues, is that there were so many track changes and colors and comments in there that probably would have become quite difficult anyway for people to review or very clearly see what had been changed. So I think that's where we're currently at.
Thanks, Marika. You have my sympathy for a challenging morning. It sounds like you've had, and I'm sure others would join me in recognizing the work that you, Grace and yourself have done. In a peculiar moment of empathy, I seem to have background construction drilling going on as well, but it's not, doesn't sound like it's quite as bad as yours. So I haven't had to deal with the document, but a bit of drilling in the background. So what I suggest for this group then is that we take that suggestion by Marika and work through. Anyone from DTC, A and M may wish to comment on those points that Marika made, perhaps later, once we've seen where we are and highlight any information there. In the meantime, I suggest we work through it up to page 64, and then we probably switch to the Sidley version at page 64 and have a look at that, and also make sure we cover the section 4 edits provided by Lisa. So in some ways we do it in parts, but as Marie said, she should be able to then synthesize the various versions together with Grace later on and during the course of today. All right. As I see the document in my screen, it seems a little smaller. I'm not sure if it's possible to raise the size of the display. Thank you. That's helpful. I'm not sure if that's something I could have done anyway. Or if that was affecting everyone, but thank you, that's helpful. So, to be clear, we're looking at track changes from the version we saw on Tuesday up until now, so the most recent set of changes. And I will do as I did on Tuesday, is to work through and try and stop and perhaps lead a little on where there are material changes, but of course anyone should feel free to stop if there's a particular area they want to highlight and make sure it's adequately covered or clarified as necessary. And thanks for raising the size one more notch as well. That's helpful. So here we go. We've got the glossary, and I see that is now ordered alphabetically with some minor changes as required. And I note the offer to send a copy directly if you need to work locally with this particular version. I'm not going to pause on all of the detailed links. If you do want to stop me, by all means do so, but I'll just make sure that these are where things like this are edits from a kind of visual or typographical point of view. I won't necessarily pause us on each of those. We're really looking for substantive changes. So here we come to a point where there's been some discussion about policy development, and it looks like I'm going to assume that these edits, some of these look familiar to me from Tuesday, but I'm going to assume that the edits are indeed recent additions. And here you've got a reference to the GNSO policy development process, although my recollection is this wording was in there on Tuesday. And again on dispute resolution policies. Insertion there of binding arbitration. So, Marika, I noticed in the preamble you highlighted that you hadn't included Andrew Sullivan's comment. Presumably this reference here or is in paragraph 97 is to a previous comment, or is that just one you managed to catch? Just to clarify that.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think this is the earlier comment from Andrew in relation to clarifying that all functions, not just the naming functions, would be transferred to PTI. So this is a previous comment that he had made, not the ones that came in, I think, overnight.
Thank you. And I noticed that was also picked up in a little more detail or additional detail by the Sidley review of the document. Alan, go ahead, Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. Could we go back to, maybe we're not there yet. Looking at Roman numeral 3A, Roman numeral 2A, I thought we were past it, but we seem to have gone back at this point.
All right, let's hold on till we get there.
I may have been seen as things were flying by.
No problem, Alan. And ask me to slow down, anyone, if you'd like to. I was paging relatively fast in those earlier sections. There's clearly going to be more substance in sections 3 and 4. And also remind you, Alan, and everyone else that there is helpful paragraph numbering down the left-hand margin so that enables you to refer to specific paragraphs and, if necessary, sentences in those paragraphs. So much of the changes here, minor word changes, but it's probably worth that last bullet in paragraph 105. Results of the IFR are not prescribed or restricted and could include recommendations to initiate a separation process as described below, which could result in termination or non-renewal of the ICANN PTI ANA functions contract. And deleted. Section there. Upri?
Thanks. This is Avery. I'm having trouble still keeping track of everything and actually seeing the numbers. In 104, I had a question, and I guess before 105, we just went by it. I'm trying to look at the list of things that I sent in. In bullet, what was it, 104? No, I don't see it there.
It's possible, Avery. This is Grace. It's possible that if you're looking at a previous version, the paragraph numbers have changed.
Oh, okay. So never mind. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
If you'd like, okay. If you let me know what version you're looking at, I can find it for you.
I was looking at the version I had sent comments in on. I guess it was V2.
Okay, I'll find that and get back to you.
I'm sorry. I've asked Marika to send me a copy because I just can't read it on the screen. I'm just so sorry.
No problem, Aubrey. It's not a perfect process, this, so by all means do come in, and you and others, if you feel you need to raise things. I've personally made the recent
I'll put my hand down,
screen.
I guess.
Go ahead, Aubrey, and raise it when you need to. All right, thanks. In paragraph 112 is some further detail, including some track changes on the PTI board, which has clearly been the subject of a lot of discussion, revision, and development as we've gone. And this looks to me to include Fidley's revisions, but it's not absolutely clear that that does include the last revisions. Yeah, it does, actually. It does look like it includes it, because I noticed some wording there that was developed. Thanks, Sharon. Thanks for confirming that in the chat. And I found, just a comment for what it's worth, is that I found Sidley's review in tightening up the language, in particular in areas such as this, and just making it sharper and clearer, in both meaning and intent, that was useful as a legal proofread, if you like, or legally oriented proofread. Yeah, and this covers quite a bit of our discussion from earlier in the week. Thanks, Sharon. Go ahead, Aubrey.
Yes, thank you. Strangely enough, that point that I had, and it's a point that shows up a couple of times, and I think it's a decision not fully made, was indeed in 105, which we were at when I was trying to push us back to 104. And it had to do with actually... it's a footnote, and it's an indication that it shows up, and it's the location of the CSC. A couple times in the document, and so it was bullet, it was actually the footnote in bullet three that sent me into the question, which is whether it was in the DTM discussion the other day in this document, there seems to be an ambiguity about where the CSC sits. Is it part? Is it a committee within ICANN? Is it something completely independent? And that later gets mixed up in the issue of is the CSE secretariat functions in the V2 at least were defined as being done by the PTI. I'm sorry, I haven't had coffee yet, so it's really hard to speak. I just made it. But we had a discussion about if it's in ICANN, not in the PTI, then why is the PTI providing its secretariat support? And there was a whole lot of reasons, both pro and con. And then there's the issue that I came up yesterday, I think, was in the DTM meeting. It may have been another one, I'm not good, that indicated that there were those that were thinking of it as an independent entity. And when I read V2, that ambiguity still exists. And the first place it exists is in, you know, this bullet and its footnote. So I just wanted to make sure that we had that issue on the table is something that I think we still need to resolve.
Thanks, Avery. That's an important point, and it was one of the instructions that went by the client committee in part. It relates to this, is ensuring that to the extent that, the ICANN bylaws were going to be required to cover any particular area that was dealt with. Just a very practical point. There's a bit of scratchiness on your microphone, so I'm not sure what's causing that. It might be a trailing lead or something. So I think you've got some comments in the chat there explaining the views of the fact that it seems to have solidified as a committee recognized within the bylaws of ICANN by Donna, and Sharon's agreed with that. And certainly Sydney's latest revision envisages that that being the case and covers that as one of the points. Let me let others speak and see if they are satisfied with the clarity or if this is something we need to open up and make sure it is clear for all concerned, including any readers of this document outside the group. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. I thought I understood what was going on until I just saw the comment from Sharon, saying it is still independent, though. As my understanding is, the CSC is a construct of ICANN. It is independent in that no one else in ICANN other than the CSC itself tells the CSC what to do or what to say, but that is true of any of the parts of ICANN. The ALAC, the GNSO, are independent in that they follow their own drummer, so to speak, but they're constructs of ICANN, and I thought that the CSC was the same. I've always thought it was anomalous that the secretariat services are provided by PTI effectively under contract to ICANN. But if that makes sense, just because that's where the knowledge and skill is, that's fine. But it's very much in my mind a body of ICANN, who has a particular charter and responsibilities to do certain things. The comment that it is independent, though, sends a different message to me. So I think if nothing else, we need some clarity in the proposal. But I would like to have that understood.
Thanks, Alan. I'm seeing others in the chat seemingly finding your interpretation consistent with theirs. But let's run through the queue then and hear from Lisa, Sharon, and Greg, and that may resolve or refine things. Go ahead.
Jonathan, I think you should let Sharon have a go at it first. My information is more practical. Thank you.
Go ahead, Sharon. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Jonathan. So, Alan, I think what you described is right. I think maybe the word independent is what's causing confusion. When I say independent, I mean not physically independent. I mean, it will sit within ICANN, but what I mean is independent in the sense that ICANN isn't controlling the CSC. The CSC will be created as a fundamental bylaw, it will have a charter, and it will be in control of its own mandate. And so, I mean, when I say independent, I mean politically independent in the sense that it will control its own fate.
Okay. I do have a question for that, but I'll wait my turn. Jonathan, up to you.
Thanks, Alan. Let's come back to you then and just make sure we work our way. Ask the question so we will keep the flow. Ask the question now and let's make sure we try and bottom this out.
Well, the question, other than PTI being, or CSC being defined by a fundamental bylaw and the ALAC or GNSO not being, and maybe that puts into question for the accountability group whether they should be or not, that other than that, there is no other difference. I mean, none of us, or most of us, do not take explicit orders from other parts of ICANN. The GNSO has a particular clause that's saying it must do a PDP if the board asks. But, largely it is independent to the extent that it does whatever it believes should be done at a given moment and issues statements. that follow the GNSO intent. So I'm not quite sure why that is different, other than it's harder to get rid of because of the fundamental bylaw defining it. So I just think we need to be consistent with the terminology we use throughout the rest of ICANN. Thank you.
Isn't that a problem for our the use of the word independent is perhaps valuable here, but what in a sense you're suggesting is that we might want to emphasize that in other documents, and that's not necessarily for this group. Let me let Greg have a word, Alan, and then come back if it still needs more work.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. I'm not experiencing the same cognitive dissonance as Alan, but I do agree that the independence of CSC seems no different than the independence of a number of other groups that are supported by ICANN and created by ICANN bylaws. So maybe we're making much out of nothing in declaring it independent. That's not so unique. The issue that I wanted to bring up directly was the idea of PTI providing secretariat. It seems to me that maybe that's a, I think that also may be a detail that really is not necessary. And given that PTI is largely going to be just the current IANA staff, as far as I can tell, to the extent that there's secretariat services, likely they'd actually be somebody who's employed by ICANN. And if we want to get into what services PTI gets from ICANN and gives to others, pursuant to some sort of services contract, which we haven't actually discussed, but which I think is implementation, and not necessary to discuss now, it's just fine for CSC to be an ICANN-created body, independent in its deliberation, and to receive secretariat services from ICANN without having to sort of, root it on paper through PTI. I think that it's getting kind of silly to do so, that sort of thing. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Donna? It's muffled, Donna. Something's not quite right with it.
Does that work better?
Yes, that seems okay now.
Okay. Greg, just to respond to the question about why the secretariat came from PTI, DTC had quite a bit of conversation around this, and the reason we felt why we specified that the secretariat came from PTI was because we felt that the expertise that was housed within IANA would be well suited to provide the secretariat. Now, I take your point that can come from ICANN, and I don't know that that's a die-in-the-ditch issue, certainly not for me, but we did have some lengthy discussions around where we felt the secretariat should come from, and we did, discuss an independent one but didn't see any value in that. But we did specify that it came from IANA because of the expertise that we felt would be housed within IANA itself. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. Martin, you're next.
Thanks, Jonathan. Martin Boyle here. I fully concur with Donna, but I'd also like to add that by using a PTI-based secretariat, we make sure that the CSC then is very firmly in discussion, in communication with the PTI staff, and so that things don't get lost because, this was an issue with an ICANN secretariat who know the people in ICANN but don't necessarily have such close links with the people in the PTI, and as the CSC is focused on the performance of the PTI, that certainly to me seemed to be a particular advantage of a PTI-based secretariat. Thank you.
Thanks. I think I understand and get that. Greg, is that a new hand? In any event, to Greg's point in the chat, it's that was the one concern I had was there was sufficient resource and capacity within IANA's primarily providing a technical customer service function. Are we adding another layer on there? But notwithstanding that, the rationalization for it does seem sensible for the secretariat to derive from within the PTI. Alan?
Sorry, I'm back on the original subject, not on secretariat, so you may want to close up that one.
I think we need to close off both independent. There's been some wording suggested there to tidy that up, and I think we need to get it right. And also, this does seem very, very detailed, as Greg says. So let's try to just close both of these points off as soon as possible.
Okay, I was just commenting on Grace's wording that she used an expression saying it's independent with respect to mandate, and it's not. It's very independent with respect to mandate associated with monitoring PTI and follow-on activities, or PTI with regard to naming and follow-on activities, but it's very constrained. So if we use Grace's wording, that has to be somewhat modified. Thank you.
Sharon, go ahead.
I think on this, what we should just do is in footnote 3 where this comes up, we just delete the first sentence, and then we leave the second sentence as it is. It would be authorized by the ICANN governance documents. The language independence was something I introduced in the chat, which I think led to some confusion. It's not in the proposal. I think the charter and mandate are clear from the CSC charter documents. I think we should just let that document speak for itself.
Let's agree that, then we can drop that. And it sounds like you have some support from at least the two Alans in the chat. So that's great, and I think that's a sensible suggestion if it's causing us to get stuck on this. Are we going to be firm on the PTI secretariat deriving from the IANA function, or are we going to suggest that it's are we going to ask that it's optimal? How firm do you want to be on this? Donna originally from in her individual capacity said she wasn't very firm on it. So Donna suggests we go with the optimal language. In other words, we suggest that it comes from within the IANA function, but regardless, the key point is that we have a secretariat to support the work of the CSC, however so provided. And mindful then of Martin's point that that mustn't get in the way of direct communication, effective communication with the IANA staff. So we can make a strong preference for that secretariat originating from the IANA function. And that makes it clear that that's what our intent is, and ideally that's so provided. Right. Just reminding you again, as I said in the chat, to refer to paragraphs or footnote numbers so we can try and keep close, and I can bring them up in front of you when we need to. So I'm going to take us back down. We were moving on past the PTI board with Sidley's latest updates to the wording there, and I'll keep us moving then on beyond that unless you draw me back to a point that needs further work. Under the IANA function review, there's this tightening up of the wording referring to being limited to evaluation against the statement of work. and the policy concern that was the subject of some discussion and policy development. So that's the scoping work that's done there. Avery?
I'm trying to use a different microphone now. I had a question. Oh, God, I'm really doing the wrong thing here. In terms of the every 5 years, and this may be something we covered earlier. I'm going to keep losing the microphone. Changing microphones was a bad idea. We say every 5 years. At one point, we had a discussion about wording that was similar to within 5 years, and or I forget exactly what we used, no less than every 5 years. And one of the reasons for that was because of flexibility in terms of fitting it in with other reviews, and would you know, that be an issue. It also, in some ways, leaves things open to deal with the comments we've got about it should be 1 or 2 years, 3 years, four. It basically says that we're setting an upper limit of the number of years, but as things are going through with implementations and fitting it into the whole review cycle, if that got adjusted lower, that's not something that we necessarily would have a problem with. So if it happened every 4 years, for example. And so I just really wanted to ask about that. I did not remember us having a discussion decision, but I may have slept through it, of saying, no, we're sticking with the 5 years and not doing the softer wording of what was it? No less than every 5 years. And if we made a change on that, it would be reflected in this paragraph, the next paragraph, and F. Thanks.
So, Avery, we covered this in various ways. My recollection is, I'm not 100% clear, but certainly my opinion is that we want it to be, that we, and what I do recall is that we wanted it to be no more than 5 years, specifically to provide for the fact that it wasn't in some way kicked further down the track. But I agree with you, and I think it aligns with this, the sort of the intention of the group to create a degree of flexibility, providing it doesn't extend beyond 5 years. And there's also another point which we need to come to, and that's the periodicity of the review relative to when and if there has been a special review. Now, we talked on list about that potentially resetting the clock. That's a point. So whether the next review is no more than 5 years from the last special review, one thing we may want to consider is whether there is, if there's been a special review, would that reset the clock, including with effect to a 2-year review, checking that the special review has been indeed dealt with adequately and fully. So I see some support in the chat for the softer wording. In other words, 5 years at most, or something along those lines that's tight and makes that sorted out. I don't know if you want to come back on that, Avery, or some of the other supplementary points I just responded with.
Yes, I did, and perhaps some of those edits then are in here. Further on, I had made recommendations on wording in a couple places for resetting the clock, and indeed in terms of the if it did anything, I put in a recommendation in my comments that it would restart the whole cycle of a 2-year and then that. So I don't know about after a cipher doing on the 2 and 4. I didn't recommend that. I just recommended language that restarted the clock.
but I did recommend the kind of thing you were mentioning in one of the possible text changes for the separation cross-community working group. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. So it feels like we've got clear agreement
anyway,
that it should be...
It
is a little, it cut out a couple of times during when you were talking. I think we got the essence of that, Avery, but it certainly audio is clear. There's no background noise, but it did cut out a couple of times. So I just want to make sure I've got it. What I'm hearing is that, A, the periodic review takes place. Well, obviously we know it takes place after 2 years initially. It then takes place at no greater intervals than 5 years. The special reviews, it seems to be the view in the chat that the special reviews are, in a sense, independent of this. So the question I'd like to understand is, if we have gone through a special review cycle, when is the next regular review? Is it when it was previously scheduled prior to that special review, or is it 2 years after that special review, or is it no more than 5 years off that special review? That's the question I'd like to just clarify. Chuck, go ahead.
And I think several people in the chat said this, what I'm going to say, and I said as well, I don't think a special review should have an impact on when the periodic review occurs. Now, I think we probably get into some resource problems if they overlap and so forth, so that's another wrinkle we may need to think about a little bit. So maybe as a general principle, the special review would not impact the occurrence of a periodic review unless circumstances dictate that because of resource constraints. Anyway, I'll stop there, and maybe others have a cleaner suggestion there.
Thanks, Chuck. It was my understanding that we had moved beyond that. That doesn't mean we can't come back to that point, but that somehow it feels new to me, this the fact that the special reviews occur sort of independent of the regular review cycle. Let's go with Lisa next.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'm not sure I have a cleaner suggestion or better, but I was wondering if we have a special review, that if there's any greater trouble or something really bad happening within the IANA function, and I think it would be great to have the reset of the clock, because then you would have a 2-year review after that to ensure that all the things have been sorted out. Thank you.
I think it feels to me like we have two options. We're very clear on the periodicity of the 5-year review cycle. The challenge is, what happens if a special review takes place? And we really seem to have two options here. One is that we insist that a regular review happens no more than 2 years after that, effectively resetting the clock, as people have said. Or we stick with looser language, which says that the regular reviews take place no more than 5 years after the last review, in which case there's a degree of flexibility based on that. So that's the guidance we need here. And there's clearly some concern being expressed in the chat that we're overdoing this in how we deal with it. Yeah, I think the spirit or the principle of this has been to try and keep things have a defined and well thought out proposal, but that doesn't bake in the absolute finest detail where it's not necessary. So it feels to me like the balance is that we say periodic reviews should occur no more than 5 yearly intervals, and we have a whole provision for special reviews occurring, and I think we leave it to common sense judgment at the time. If a special review happens to occur within a very short period of a regular review, it's possible that we bring forward that regular review to combine with the special review. So I think leaving the flexibility in there sounds like the way to do it. Periodic reviews are at no more than 5 year intervals, and the capability to run a special review if necessary. So if we can form wording based on that interpretation, it sounds like that's a reasonable balance of where we are. Thanks, everyone. Let me continue to move, and again, just to remind you, call out the paragraph in the visible document on the screen in the Adobe Connect that you're referring to if you would like to refer to something. There's more detailed wording that's been into, but there is a call here, and I just want to check with staff and or Avery on comments 16, 17, and 18 in the lower right. I think there's still outstanding required text here, isn't there?
No, this is Marika. This should actually include, I believe, because Avery did send language. So, and Avery can confirm if that is here. So, I think I added that, and I don't know why it shows up three times the same comment. But if this should have the wording as Avery suggests.
Thanks, Marika. And Avery confirms that with a check mark via the chat. So this is just an artifact, and we can work beyond that now. Thank you. And here we now come into some paragraphs 129 through 134 and on, dealing with the service level expectations and the fact that these may need to be updated. It's probably an opportunity to comment here on the work of that group and where that's at and whether we're in shape there. In the meantime, Donna, you have your hand up, so go ahead.
Sorry, Dawson. So my comment related to, I think, scroll back up. I think it's paragraph 123. So it... Sorry, I'm getting feedback on my phone. It says that special ANA function review could only be triggered when following the escalation mechanisms and methods have been exhausted. CSC remedial action procedures have followed and failed to correct the identified deficiency. So if the remedial actions fail to correct the deficiency, the CSC would escalate that to the CCNSO and GNSO, or RYSG. We're still having a conversation around that. So I'm just not 100% sure that is correct. So I just wanted to flag that because that would be a reason that the CSC has been unable to correct a deficiency, but the CSC would actually escalate that to the CCNSO and GNSO factum, not directly to a special review. So I just wanted to flag that. Thanks.
So just to make sure I understand that point, the implication of paragraph 1, 2, 3 is that this gets would be escalated directly following the failure to correct the identified deficiency, whereas later, immediately below, it starts to describe the triggers. So, and you think that that's not tightly enough put, it, Donna?
I know I said everything in the queue, so I'm every what the intent was before I respond, Jonathan, if that's okay.
Great, that's fine. Thanks, Donna. Avery, go ahead.
Yes, thanks. This is Avery. So there's minor changes made, and I actually don't think I'm the one that made the first one, but I think it's good. It just says it could only be triggered after that. And then it describes in that next paragraph what it takes to actually trigger it, following the triggers above. And perhaps the problem is using the word triggers in two slightly different senses, so that might need to be changed and not call the two things above triggers or not call this. The naming support organizations would be responsible for looking at the stuff the CSC gave them, essentially, it says. Then after considering it, including a comment period, it would then be the one, they would then be the one to actually initiate the special IFR. So I think the ambiguity is out unless it's being triggered by the word trigger. Because it's quite specific in that the paragraph after those two bullets. Now, maybe we just need a bullet for clarity after those two that says, and the CSC passes the issue on, and just to be very specific about it. So that might be a way to make sure that there is no, you know, missing step or possible missing step. Thanks.
Thanks. So I feel that we've got the sense of that. Grace, have you managed to capture that in the notes? It's just a matter of making sure that paragraph 1, 2, 3 is internally consistent. That's the key point. It's a review of paragraph 1, 2, 3 to make sure it's not 1, 2, 3. It's 123 to make sure it's self-consistent. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you. We're wandering into the area that I had put my hand up at the beginning of the meeting when I was confused. I think one of the problems here is we're talking about the IFR before we talk about the CSC and the escalation processes. So we're really putting the cart before the horse in terms of the order within the paper, and that makes things somewhat more complex because we almost have to repeat what we're going to say later to have this make sense here. But let me get to the substance of what I was going to say, and we can either talk about it now or talk about it when we get to the section on the CSC and escalation. The ALAC put in a very strong comment that we believe that the GNSO in particular should not be the body that things are escalated to, and that passes judgment in conjunction with the CCNSO as to whether to trigger cataclysmic, things that might eventually lead to separation or to other major changes. We gave a whole bunch of reasons. I can read them out again if you want me to, but I don't want to waste the time of this group. We believe the GNSO is a semi multi-stakeholder group with regard to the overall number of stakeholders. We are giving a group which is very carefully in the ICANN bylaws defined as a policy group, putting it right in the middle of an operational process, and we believe that is very incorrect. The GNSO and the extra stakeholders in addition to the registry group should not be stuck in the middle of that process. Either it goes to the registry group, as we talked about in a previous meeting, the GTLD registry group, for ratification that the CSC has not gone off its rocker, but decisions on how to escalate and where to do things should not be given to the partial multi-stakeholder group of the GNSO. There are other stakeholders who have a stake in this and should be involved. Thank you very much. And this may be a die-in-the-ditch issue for the ALAC, by the way.
Okay, Alan, a couple of things then. I wrote a note on your former point. Before we get to the couple of responses, I'm slightly concerned that we're out of order on the document. What was the first point, just to make sure we've dealt with... the order in the document, yes. So I think the reference then, Grace, when we deal with paragraph 123, needs to be internally consistent, and you can add to that, and checked for relevant position in the document. And it may be able to be fixed, for example, by simply reference to the fact that the CSC is defined in greater detail later in the document, or we can consider relocating this content one way or another. That's an editorial point, I think. The second is obviously a point of more substance.
The major sections talk about oversight and accountability before they talk about the actual way we're doing things. So I think that's the source of the order problem.
Understood. And we within the constraints of responding to the RFP, we need to look at whether how that can be managed.
Just having a pointer to the later sections at the beginning of it, you know, may cover us.
Well, I was thinking that may deal with it. Okay, thank you. Avery.
Thank you. This is Avery. I have a very mixed view on what Alan says. I agree with him about the structural difficulties of the paragraphs. I have no issue dealing with ICANN that I'm willing to die in a ditch over. But this is one I'll come close to. First of all, this whole idea of there being an inequality somehow between CCNSO and GNSO in terms of their multi-stakeholder nature, I think is a false difference. One does it at a local level. One does it at a subsidiary level. But both of them are spanning everything from contract holders to users and registrants. Now, in terms of acknowledging the point that Alan and ALAC made in their comment is specifically the reason why there is a comment period stuck in there to make sure. But in terms of dealing with name organizations, also this notion that the GNSO only does policy. Actually, that used to be the accusation of what the council does. The GNSO concerns itself with everything from budgets to strategy to the full gamut of ICANN operations that affect it. It's almost like we're going back to the old days. The bad old days where somebody said, the GNSO Council is just policy. The GNSO is something different, the admonition that we used to always get. And I think that's problematic. So I think there's a good point being made by ALAC is that you need the commentary of everyone. But I think, and also, I we're not talking about cataclysmic here. We're talking about the SIFR. Between the SIFR and an SCWG, there is a board step because it's a recommendation of a review, and it therefore. The other point is that the GNSO and CCNSO are recommending a process that is fully multi-stakeholder. They are not making any decisions other than to kick off a process. So I think the this is cataclysmic, is inappropriate for this particular level of the activity, and I think that the semi-multi-stakeholder is something that I'm willing to stand on the edge of the dish and fight about. Thanks.
Okay, so your counter is, in essence, that this is a check in the process, not a substantial point in the process, and moreover, that what you crafted there is interesting, because actually that could be used as a reference to the extent that this point is not complete in responding to the ALAC in their comments. This is you suggest, in effect, some content for that. Chuck, go ahead.
thanks, Jonathan, and thanks for the good discussion here. Design Team M spent quite a bit of time talking about the ALAC recommendation, two recommendations actually. One of them was to, their concern with regard to using CCNSO and GNSO in the escalation process, and the other one whether the it should be the registry stakeholder group instead of the GNSO, part of the issue that Aubrey was just talking about. First of all, let me make a general comment. I think all of us in our groups should be super cautious about having die-in-the-ditch issues. And I was surprised that this would be one of those. The Design Team M, as you will see later in terms of our responses from a meeting we had yesterday, decided that we would recommend that we leave the GNSO and CCNSO in the escalation process for reasons that Aubrey just articulated, in fact, and that we've been talking about right now. There was obviously a choice between using an existing organization or creating a new one, and we felt the practicality of using existing organizations that are, for the most part, multi-stakeholder. And Alan's right, and the ALAC is right, that we want to make sure that everybody can participate. And I know in the case of the GNSO, and I'm quite confident it's the case of the CCNSO as well, that anybody can participate. Nobody's excluded. We may have to do some outreach, but everybody's included. So for this particular issue, we think that's the practical way to go. And as Aubrey said, it's the GNSO does get involved in other things instead of policy development. We can be super idealistic on that and be really rigid. I don't think it is worth that in this particular case. So with regard to the registry stakeholder group, and this is the hot issue for Aubrey, that as she just said, we recommend, I mean Design Team M and those that were involved in our call yesterday, recommend that we leave it and not change it to the registry stakeholder group for the reasons cited by Aubrey in the most part, and that we involve the full GNSO in that decision. So just wanted to clarify that if that's a die-in-the-ditch issue for the ALAC, which would surprise me, then the Design Team M is recommending that we do leave it the way it is in the escalation process. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. A couple of thoughts, really. I mean, I think you're right. All of us need to be careful. We often refer to the making of the sausage in the process, and this is a set of various issues and points that have been made along the way. So let's be careful about red lines to the extent that we can be, notwithstanding respecting that some groups will feel very strongly about particular issues. I feel that Aubrey and Chuck provided some good responses to Alan. Alan, I see you want to come back in. Do come back in, but also do bear in mind that we've got a lot to get through. So come back in on this, and let's see if you were satisfied with the responses you got.
Okay, thank you. The die-in-the-ditch expression was one Donna used earlier, and I said we may. Certainly in our discussions leading up to this point, it has been a very serious problem. What decision we may make in Buenos Aires, of course, will be subject to discussions at that time. So I'm trying to be as clear and blunt as I can. I think that's important. The ALAC went into this believing that we must not only have a multi-stakeholder process to build this proposal, but must be involved in critical decisions. We have, the CSC has been restricted, and there has been a comment on email recently that we don't want to use the term multi-stakeholder because the liaisons may try to exert too much power. So, fine, we're accepting the CSC as it has been proposed. We're accepting the PTI board as it's being proposed, and there are some people within our community who felt very strongly it should be multi-stakeholder. I wasn't one of them, but there are a number of people who felt that very strongly. And we believe that the critical decision processes within ICANN, not only part of the review function, but the actual decision processes triggering those, should be multi-stakeholder. And forgive me, but when we talk about multi-stakeholder, it includes us. It should include the GAC. It should include ESSAC. These are all bodies that have a significant part to play in these processes, and we felt strongly and feel strongly that they should not be deferred at that point. And yes, Avery, and on occasion, the ALAC has a strong voice within the GNSO Council, but not being able to make motions and not being able to vote puts us in a very different position, and I have a fair number of years' experience that I can speak to if anyone cared about the details. So I think this is an important issue. I appreciate what Avery and Chuck have said. I'm not convinced that we're that's a satisfactory answer. Thank you.
So, Alan, you highlight a really important point here. Let me say that, honestly, I had reservations from the very outset of this idea coming up about inserting the GNSO and the CCNSO in as part of the process. I've come to get used to it and see that it perhaps has a value. And one of the most important things that persuades me is when I hear people, as Avery and Chuck both did, or articulating the motivation or the specific description of it. So I think the reason I say this is an important point is obviously this is clearly important in specific detail to you, but far more critically, it's an important pointer to all of the members and participants about how critical it is to be able to articulate the why and the detail, because from a distance, there are issues for the ALAC clearly on multi-stakeholder nature of all of this. There might be issues about, as you've just highlighted, GNSO and the CCNSO and the escalation path, and so on. And that will be the case for each of the different groups. So what's critical, and I would have made this point later, but this highlights it very clearly, is the nature of our kind of ambassadorial role or our responsibility as people who participate in this to try and take the articulation so well presented by people who've thought through it in the design teams and so on. So I'd encourage you to, if you can, to absorb those arguments, think about them, and we may come back to this, but it may be that certainly what I heard was this is a check and balance on the CSC not being able to simply escalate it straight into a multi-stakeholder process which has significant ramifications politically and optically, let alone anything else. And it's a way of saying, hang on, let's just make sure this has been through a filter. Let me let you have the last word on this since it was your point, Alan, but let's be careful not to spend too long on a dialogue on this and getting stuck in it. So my encouragement to you, and I won't say any more on this, is to think about what's been said by the counterpoints. And go ahead, have the last word, and then let's move on.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jonathan. Just the point that the reason in the previous meeting we were talking about the registry stakeholder group was just that, to act as the sanity check to make sure that this wasn't being blown out of proportion by the CSC, and that I thought was completely reasonable. Putting a lot of the stakeholders, but not all of the stakeholders, in the decision process and giving them very substantial voting powers to do that, I think, is what distorts the multi-stakeholder process, and that's where our concern rests, and I'll stop at that point. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Let me keep us moving then, and that needs to be thought about and perhaps taken up offline amongst others to talk through and think through some more. In 129 to 134, we start to touch on the service level expectations group. Bernie, I know you've been actively working with that group from a staff perspective. Maybe you can just point us as to where this is, where you think this is headed, or whatever the latest information you can give us on this.
Thank you, sir. The latest news is there is no news because the next meeting of the DTA subgroup follows this meeting. And I think at that point we will have a fairly good idea of where we stand. Just a quick recap for those that may have missed it. There's been quite a lot of work that's been done by IANA and the DTA representative in developing some significant documentation about what's being looked for. So it's not just talking. There's been a lot of work going on, and the next meeting in a few hours after this one closes, and we'll be able to advise Paul and the rest of the DTA of where we stand at that point. I'll be glad to take any questions. Thank you, sir.
Well, Bernie, I'll make a comment that my expectation is on, as a group, that we will be expecting that this proposal is submitted with a set of service level expectations that are an update on what exists currently. They may not be, and almost certainly will not be, I don't know if this is the correct wording, but as aggressive or as far-reaching a change, set of changes as they were when we first saw them drafted in Istanbul. But I think it's fair to say the expectation of the group is that the proposal will be submitted with an updated set of service-level expectations that have been carefully discussed and worked through with the IANA staff as the group, as the design team is doing. So I guess what I would flag is, if that's not to be the case, we need to know that. If it is to be the case, we will leave you to work with that design team to bring that work to its highly effective conclusion. Bernie, you responded to that, so go ahead.
I believe that's exactly what we're. I'm trying to get both sides to work towards. And so far the cooperation has been good. The one point I failed to mention is that the next meeting of DTA and IANA is for Monday next week. Thank you.
Right. Well, it sounds like you have a reasonable optimism of bringing, from your perspective anyway, of looking in on the group, is that it will produce what I've suggested. So let's leave that work to be completed. And we can make reference to this in the document on the understanding that a revised set of service level expectations will be able to sit in the appropriate annex to the document.
Teleconference died?
I don't think so.
I don't know. It hasn't died, no. My mic was slightly off mute there. Sorry, on mute there. I was just going to say that bottom of paragraph 123, there's the comments that were relating to limiting policy work. It's covered there again. Updates on the recommending a type of not responsible for recommending a type of separation from the IFR, but handing it, and the points we were just discussing here as the potential implementation of a separation working group. And then some detailed description of the work of the SLE DTA, which we just touched on a moment ago, from 129 to 134, 136, in fact. Here we bring in reference to ICANN membership, and that this is where we have a dependency. Sure, thank you. That's 141 is language cleanup. Grace, go ahead.
Hi, Jonathan. So I had noticed this point also in one of the annexes yesterday when I was going through the document, and I made a comment that I thought it may be premature for us, and I don't know how the group feels about this, but in assuming the ICANN as a membership organization, and we're pointing to the CCWG work, we're pointing to it at a very early stage. And I was wondering if it made more sense perhaps to keep those references at this stage a little bit more open or vague, just because, you know, if we looked at our document in the first public comment in the first draft that we put out, our, you know, second and final proposal is very different from what we proposed in the first public comment. And the CCWG is just going into that phase right now. So I was a little bit concerned about putting in too detailed of a reference to potential structure changes and things like that within ICANN until that information is more finalized by the CCWG. So, you know, I would suggest taking out some of the language.
Okay, got it, Grace. That's fine, Grace. You got that point. That's helpful. Thank you. And I want to just check this because I thought in a note that I'd seen from Sidley over the last 24 hours or so, there was the wording referred to the two contemplated structural changes rather than just assuming one. And so it was slightly less prescriptive wording than the assuming ICANN becomes a membership organization. Sharon, I don't know if you recall that, where you said it was kind of, you covered both bases depending on what changes got adopted.
Yeah, Jonathan, this is Sharon. At one point, we had talked about the structure as whether it's a membership structure or a designator structure, and we'd left it open-ended. And then the ultimate CCWG proposal is addressing membership. I take Grace's point that they may not end there. That's not where they may land. But right now, this is just going with what the current proposal states. So if we wanted to, we could. You know, refer instead to designator, but I would defer to Josh as to whether we think that would, you know, create other issues with the proposal.
Sorry, I was trying to get off mute. Can you point me to the...
Josh, we're in 141 where we're talking about the separation process, and we're referring
right.
to ICANN membership, assuming ICANN becomes a membership organization. And the comment Grace was making is, you know, if CCWG, we don't know where they'll ultimately land, and so is this too definitive, and does that create issues with the CWG proposal?
Yeah, I mean, the final modifier was only intended to say, you know, the IFO, the new IFO would be subject to approval of the ICANN board. And the ICANN membership, assuming that there actually are members. Obviously, if it's designators only, then it would have to be different. I don't know how, I'm not quite sure what it would look like, but it would be different.
It suffice to say, Josh and Sharon and members and participants of the CWG, isn't it suffice to say that we could say any new IFO would be subject to the approval of the ICANN board and the ICANN membership, assuming ICANN becomes a membership organization, or equivalent community mechanism.
Jonathan, this is Sharon. I think that works.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's put that in an or equivalent community mechanism derived from the CCWG accountability process. Because we need to make the link clear that this is where
it comes
from.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, and in terms of Avery's point and if formatting, we can tidy up whether it's bracketed, footnoted, or however, but it's capturing that essence is that we can only work with what we've got at the moment, but we need to create a little bit of flexibility should the CCWG produce a different outcome. All right, that resolves that. Thanks for raising that point, Grace. And then we go on to some example outcomes. So we say there's no prescribed outcome, but here are some possible outcomes. And we cover the cost issue there, including the fact that there should be no increase in costs associated with a separation. Avery? Right, let's keep things moving then. Greg, and I'll take your sort of legally technical, or correct, that if it, only if it becomes a membership organization does it need to approve. But still, we would like to cover if there's an equivalent mechanic there, it would be a shame to lose that opportunity to capture that. Open mic to a keyboard, just letting you know someone's got an open mic on a keyboard. These changes to 164, this looks like detail points coming in from DTO. Now we go on to the next session, which is the implications of the transition section 4. And I think for this purpose, we swap to a different version of the document which contains Lisa's inputs. Thank you, Marika. Now, I must say I'm less familiar with this part of the document, so Lisa, if I miss something or you need to nudge me on this, please do go ahead. Lisa, go ahead right away.
Well, I can do the first. It's very difficult to see because it's in the changes are in yellow against the orange. But in this 167, I was just trying to reflect the point that Andrew made that it was all the IANA functions customers. So I was trying to include them all, but not make it a requirement. But I'm a little unsure what we agreed about if we want to be strong in the wording regarding it should include all the IFO customers, or as we say, it's proposed, it's not a requirement, but it would be ideal. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. I think this is something we've talked around and through, and I understood we'd settled on this, and what we have settled on is that we propose in this group that all of the staff assets and that a coherent IANA function is transferred to PTI. This does not make any presumptions or assumptions about the relationships that the other communities have with ICANN and how ICANN manages this. So I'm not sure that that sentence adds clarity as it stands. I think it perhaps... I'm not sure. Go ahead, Andrew.
Thank you. I sent some comments about this last night, so I didn't raise it earlier when it came by, but actually the latest text, the text that we've been going through here, does have a little bit of contamination, I think, of other functions. So I proposed some new text, a new chunk that would substantially deal with that, and I think I checked it for consistency this section. So maybe when that stuff gets integrated, people can have a look at it.
Thanks, Andrew. That seems reasonable. So I don't think we should argue over this now. I think we should absorb your – and it was noted at the outset that your edits hadn't been included, so apologies for that. And these may be even a further set. So let's integrate those and make sure that is then checked for consistency. Lisa?
I think I have only one further comment that we should discuss on this call. The rest is changes that can be discussed with the when Andrews is incorporated too. But that is that it's some kind of suggesting that the CSC is a multi-stakeholder body, and it's a little further down, I think. And I'd really like that wording to be changed. So that was my only point. Thank you.
Thanks. I see you get a check mark from Avery on that, and it's really just I understand your concern, and I had a similar concern. I know Alan mentioned this earlier. This the issue here is that it's misleading to call it. It's inaccurate, and so it's simply and so that's dealt with in paragraph 170, which is on the screen in front of you, and although in a very technical sense it is past multi-stakeholder, it's not accurate in terms of the perceptions of this community what a true multi-stakeholder body means, and therefore is potentially misleading in this context. So it seems logical to me, and you have various support for that modified wording in the chat and on the check marks that people put up. Avery? Avery, we don't hear you yet.
Oh, I didn't know you had called on me yet. Sorry. My comment is on a different one, not this. Can I go forward with that? It was on an earlier one, like 169, it might be. Am I coming?
Go ahead, Aubrey.
Anyhow, okay, the issue is the bullet point, and I've lost it at the moment, but the bullet point that says IANA is responsible for .int. There's been a lot of discussion on the fact that, yes, nothing had to happen here, but there probably needed to be some further process later or continuation of the GAC process, and we'd never nailed down exactly what, but that this wasn't a in perpetuity comment. But throughout the documents, whenever the .int is mentioned, it is not mentioned in a way that indicates that there's more work to be done on this that doesn't need to be done before the transition. And I think I don't have a proposal for exactly where that statement goes. It may go on this first mention. It may go somewhere else. but I do believe we need to include that openness. Thanks.
Avery, this is Grace. I believe I have a solve for that. We have a footnote, but we included it in the annex to Section 2. But what we should go ahead and do to I think solve for your point there is include it also in the as a footnote to this bullet point. Would that make sense? Okay, I see a check mark. I'll make that in the notes.
Lisa, you indicated earlier that you don't have any other points you want to raise in Section 4 at this stage. Grace?
I'm sorry, that was an old hand responding to Avery.
Lisa, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. I was just thinking if we haven't incorporated Andrew's comments, and we could as well have those incorporated and then have a look at it again. So that was my point in saying instead of going through my comments now, have Andrew's comments and I think Avery had some too and have a look at it in comparison. Thank you.
Got it. Thanks, Lisa. So rationalize the three comments and make sure they aren't in conflict or in contradiction. Yeah.
Yes.
That. Sorry, you cut out it from my sound, so that's why I talked over your last, but I'm sorry. I don't know if you cut out for others or just for me, but I think we got the essence of that. We have to rationalize the three key countries yourself, Avery and Andrew, and make sure that they, and then look at it. Okay. Which then brings us to Section 5. I guess I can ask staff if much has changed here. Grace, go ahead.
Hi, Jonathan. So not much has changed, but I'm actually, if it's okay with you, going to switch back to the other version because this version only had Lisa's comments on Section 4. So I'm just going to take a quick switch, but there aren't
yes,
a lot of changes to Section 5. I can come in here and just say that we added a Section 6 for the community process in case people haven't seen it yet. So that just is sort of outlining the process that the CWG went through and where to find mailing list archives and different things like that. So that's just a sort of links to the wiki and sort of an administrative section.
Thanks, Grace. Well, to the extent that we can, I think that pretty much completes the current reading of the proposal. It seems to me slightly disappointingly, but not wholly, it's given everything that's gone on, that we aren't in a position to put this to bed at this stage. There are probably too many open ends. And so it feels to me as though this needs to be worked on further and more detail needs to be done on it, which means we'll need more time on it. Before considering that, I'll cede that with you. We do have a couple of other points from us we to look at in changes to the annexes. So let's have a quick page turn on those and make sure we cover any of the points there. But it's starting to feel to me like this is going to need a process which requires a few more days for additional edits, a couple more days, perhaps a cutoff over the wind, and then a final reading on Tuesday next week, which is very tight, and we'll come on to that in the timelines, but just about doable. Okay, I'm getting a couple of notes indicating that we may have missed comments, and this is partly the document consistency in terms of both edits and section from Sidley and section 4 that haven't yet been completed. I'm not sure how to deal with this. Marika, do you have a suggestion? Because we're flipping between different documents at this point. I think in some ways we're better off trying to pull together a single coherent document which reflects all of the recent changes, including those from Sidley. Go ahead, Marika.
This is Marika. It may be worth indeed asking Sidley, or I think Avery also had some other comments in this section, whether there's anything indeed that needs to be called out at this stage or discussed by the CWG. As I said before, we're working on now incorporating and consolidating all those edits and comments into one version so people can have a look at it and comment then as well. But I think if there are any items where people believe it would be good to have a discussion now or be able to resolve some of those issues now, that may be helpful. But if there are none, then you may want to move on indeed to the next section.
Okay, let's create that opportunity. The section we're referring to is section 4. If there is something substantial that should be flagged at this point in section 4 from the direct Marika, that either Sidley or Avery would like to raise at this point that aren't visible in the document but were in the edits provided and will be made into the next version. Okay, let's have a look at it's getting tight into the timing for the call now. Let's have a quick page turn on the annexes then and see if anything flags up through that. Well, clearly it's starting to look like there's going to have to be a under paragraph 245, there's going to have to be a third reading on that paragraph to deal with any further edits that take place. And I think I would encourage staff at this point to really focus on trying to lock down the changes where appropriate that have been made during the course of these two readings and really make it clear where recent changes, where subsequent changes take place. So the red line will move us on from this point. If you want to retain line points that you don't feel have been adequately closed, fair enough. But I think in general it makes sense to close out the red line comments from Tuesday and from today, such that when we come to look at this next, which looks like it's likely to be Tuesday next week, we only deal with things added today and subsequent to today. I wonder, Grace, or Marika, if it would make sense for you to page turn on the annex, since you're more familiar with the edits and you could quickly pick them up rather than me doing a mechanical page turn. We don't have time, I don't think, to do that now, and it may be worth capturing the material points because there's a lot of grammatical and minor points. Are either of you in a position to do that? Go ahead, Marika.
This is Marika. I can give it a try. I think there are especially some comments, I think, from Avery that may warrant discussion, so I can just try to find those if you like. I think in most of the annexes there's as well like just cleanup of language. I know Avery did some cleanup on some of the BTNSR fields.
This is Grace, so I'll come in while Marika's page turning. I added the X-plane diagram into one of the annexes, but we're getting an updated one, so I'll get that to you. I'll get that into the document as soon as it's updated.
And this is Marika, so I think this is the first comment from Arvi, and I see Arvi's hand up so she can speak to me.
Yeah. If I can go ahead. This is Arvi speaking. This was the issue between how many people were in the IFRT and how many people are in the SCWG. And we had, in our discussions, added one CCNSO to the IFRT, but somehow I believe one registry stakeholder group also got added. That was the main point. The secondary point was we had originally had a division between registry stakeholder group and a GTLD registry operator distinction, so that there had been one seat that was possibly available for any non-GNSO GTLDs. And I think as we see things going further, that becomes much more likely. If it isn't already the case. But the real issue here was the bumping of the registry stakeholder group from 2 to 3, which was something that I thought only happened with the separation cross-community working group and not at the point of the IFRT. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. Your recollection is consistent with mine, as it is with Donna. So I think there's a mistaken edit there. The change was in the case of the CCs on the IFRT, and the case of the Gs in relation to the separation process, separation review team. So I think your memory is correct, and that needs to be updated to reflect that. Thanks. We'll tidy that up. Is there another point that we need to go to, Marika, or Gray, or Avery?
I think this is a comment from Arvi, I think that we already dealt with, so unless I'll see Sharon and Arvi, so I'll just pause here.
Arvi, your hand is up, so come in on audio if you'd like to come in.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, while the document was being scrolled, I wanted to mention that in L, I did make something that may look like more of a change, but I think it was a consistency change in the steps that the separation cross-community work group would go through in Annex L. And I don't know if it made it into this copy. I'm having all kinds of trouble on my local system. But basically, since we had done the changes earlier about the clarify the issue of RFP versus the I keep thinking of it as spin-out, but that's not the right term. Those changes didn't make it into this yet. So that's right. You said you hadn't integrated the annexes completely yet. So basically, my changes aren't reflected here yet. But the only thing was basically to sort of say the first step is that they figure out how it is they are responding to the issue put on the table by the SIFR. And then at that point, they're deciding we're doing an RFP, we're doing nothing, we're doing a, a partition of the PTI. And then if you're doing an RFP, then you had these steps. If you're doing something else, then figure out how it is you're doing it, kind of thing. So it changes the bulleted list, but I think it's consistent with the discussion we had earlier. I just wanted to point that that is there, but then again, I notice it's not there yet. Thanks.
Thanks, Sophie.
Yeah, and this is Marika. Sorry.
No, go ahead, since you're responding.
Sorry about that. This is Marika. Yeah, just to know that those changes were actually in, but I'm seeing here that for some reason, I think in the mail, in the merge of the documents, they got deleted again. So I'll restate them, reinstate them in the next version, and could just ask everyone indeed to have a close look to make sure that we don't have any other inadvertent deletions like that, and I'm sure we'll do our best as well to pick up on any of those.
Okay, thanks. Andrew?
Since you suggested I mention this on the audio, I did last night send some comments also about Annex S, because I wasn't sure that the sample term sheet was actually fully consistent with the way the rest of the document. So probably we want to make sure that however the funding works out all the way through, it's also reflected in here. Otherwise, people are just going to lift this and it won't be consistent. And there was one other thing that I wanted to mention, and that is the text there appears to have been lifted pretty much verbatim from the existing agreement with the NTIA, and so there's this restriction on IANA staff in the NTIA agreement that has actually caused us all a lot of grief, both I know anyway in the IETF, but also I think it caused some problems with this group because there was this worry about IANA staff contributing to policy decisions. So I sent it to the list, so it'll be better to probably do wordsmithing there. But I suggested some text that, you know, allowed PTI staff to make contributions when their expertise is relevant, because that has, you know, been a pretty consistent problem. I know, just for instance, we had a long period where IANA staff couldn't actually say anything in RFCs about IANA procedures, which seemed like, you know, the wrong answer. So it would be good to be able to include their expertise when it's relevant to the thing you're trying to talk about.
Andrew, that's a really good point, and I see you've got some support for that. And by all means, let's incorporate that change. My opinion on the term sheet is that we can make some reasonable efforts to make the kind of changes that you've just suggested. But realistically, we're not going to get a definitive term sheet sorted out now. And really, it feels to me like this group should work with the term sheet according to a principle. And I think our principle might be something along these lines, that we would want a term sheet, we would want a new contract negotiated subject to a term sheet, some examples of which we provide in an updated version of the NTIA term sheet here, and that we would expect, this group would expect, that that term sheet would be the subject of negotiation negotiation between PTI and IANA, with PTI having appropriate independent advice or something along those lines, because we really need to capture that there is a significant implementation step here that needs to be taken, and we cannot realistically cover all of that now. So we need to mark it up as best we can, but state clearly in the document that this is an example of the kind of changes we'd like to, and that such a term sheet would be the precursor to a negotiated contract for which we would expect PTI to receive appropriate implementation support and independent advice. And Grace, I see you capturing that, and we should try and fit something along those lines into a a form of words in the final proposal such that that can be reviewed and scrutinized by the group. Josh, go ahead.
Jonathan, this is Josh. I agree with your suggestion. The only concern or caution that I might raise is that, you know, some of the language or the key terms that are set forth in this term sheet may lag behind the current sort of thinking and evolution of the various design teams in their effort. We did obviously try to update them per the changes that at least were in the second draft of the proposal. But, you know, that thinking has continued to evolve, and I wouldn't want there to be some confusion created by having inconsistent summary terms stated here, or terms stated here that are inconsistent with the work or the proposals of the various design teams that have been incorporated into the final proposal. So perhaps a long way of saying that I would encourage sort of the specialists in your respective areas to look at the terms, you know, time permitting, and help make clear, you know, where, and we tried to note for confirmation with the various comments and the bubble comments, and for people to try to take a look at those issues and make sure that the language is consistent with the larger proposal, and if not, to offer some clarifying revisions.
Thanks, Josh. And I think I'm just mindful we're at the top of the hour now, and those are good points. And so we need to, as I said a moment ago, we cannot realistically expect to complete this term sheet if we are to work in the time we are. So we need to, you're right, along the lines of what Andrew just did, and others may well be able to update that and refine that. And I note the chat which talks about both attempting to root out the inconsistencies, but covering it with a form of disclaimer. And so I think we need to find a form of wording that introduces this annex that says we've made reasonable attempts, but it's not completely current with the existing one. And we would expect such a term sheet to be dealt with in full and consistent with the proposal at the time, at the appropriate time. So we'll spend a little more time on that. Right. Well, we've run out of time in this session. Clearly, we haven't got as far as we would have liked to for two reasons. One, because we are working up against deadlines for comments, all of us, and many came in late in the day with good reason, and there's no implied criticism there. And two, because we had the technical issues with the document. So I'm going to suggest to you that we have a further reading of this document at our meeting on Tuesday next week. And Grace, if you could capture this, please, that we have a further reading of the document on Tuesday next week. But there is a deadline for comments and changes, and that feels reasonable to me to make that deadline cut off on Sunday so that the staff have the whole of Monday to stabilize the document ahead of our call on Tuesday. So that's my proposal to you, and we've picked up various areas which we need to work on. Lisa, it looks like a last word may have fallen to you, but Chuck, why don't you come in on that, and then we'll defer to Lisa afterwards. So come in ahead of Lisa, Chuck, and then we'll come over to Lisa.
Thanks, Jonathan. Real quickly, when can we expect to see another version of the document for final review over the weekend or even tomorrow? Just an estimate would be fine.
Marika, go ahead.
This is from Marika. From my perspective, provided there are no more IT crashes, I'm hoping to be able to incorporate, you know, the other comments and edits from Sidley, Andrew, and Lisa, you know, within the next couple of hours, and to be able to send that, and hopefully as well some of the changes we've suggested now. As noted, there's still some items that we don't have, which is, for example, the DTC information, but I'm hoping as well that will get circulated later, similarly DTA. So ideally, in short, you know, later today, noting that, of course, there's still some parts that may come in later. And again, you know, I really like to encourage everyone to closely review the document and also any edits you may have made before, just to make sure that we didn't lose them.
Marika, I would encourage you to go slightly slower rather than slightly faster, and really do as thorough a job. Not that you would ever not do things thoroughly, but to do it as comprehensively as possible, so that we can try and capture at the end of the European today a stable document that is available to all for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. To comment again, so that we're not looking at multiple versions and limit any potential confusion that may cause. So that's my suggestion. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was on mute. Thank you, Jonathan. Since we didn't go through the item 5 to 7, Jonathan and I will send out a written update on these issues, but I'd like to give you a heads up for there will be interpretation on the webinars, but there needs to be a sign up for each language. So we will do interpretation if people sign up for it. If not, we will not have it on those webinars. That was a quick walkthrough of item 5 to 7. Thank you.
Really quick. Thank you, Lisa. Yes, we'll come back on some of the updates that have come out, and you would have seen the regarding item 7, the work that Citi did yesterday, and that's gone to the main list. Yes, thank you, everyone, and sorry that we didn't get things completed today, but not through any lack of effort on any of our part. So if we get this right, we can review it on Tuesday and still publish it 2 weeks ahead of the Buenos Aires meeting, over 2 weeks ahead. And there is also a timeline that we'll circulate to you as part of Lisa's out on the 5 to 7, where this will be visible. So thanks, everyone. Thanks for your hard work, and thanks for those of you who got up especially early or stayed up especially late to deal with this call. We'll work with you online in the next few days, and meet again on Tuesday.
Thanks.
Bye.